Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, once again in this broadcast of The Love Way. You know, the only way that there is in my mind is the way of God's love towards man. That's the way Jesus Christ. He loves us, He cares for us, He cares for you. And if you've tuned into this broadcast, I've got good news for you. We are talking about finances, and the reason why I talk about finances is just to teach you God's heart towards you when it comes to prosperity and blessing, and to just help you with some practical keys and how to get out of certain situations and how to handle the situation that you are in. So many people today are so depressed because they've been doing everything they know what to do and how to do it, and they don't get results. And some people are maybe facing bankruptcy, and they are saying, I don't know how to get out of this. You know what? You can get out of it. You can get through this whole thing. God can do a miracle for you. And even if you go bankrupt, you don't have to go through that with a poverty mentality. You can still be rich in your mind. Man, isn't that powerful? You can always be wealthy. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at what Paul says about contentment. Now, contentment is a thing that's not taught on often when we speak about prosperity. But I believe it is one of the greatest ways to prosperity. Contentment. To be happy with what you've got. Now, you might say, Bertie, I don't want to listen to this. I'm not happy with what I've got. Now, I'm sure I think you are happy with what you have. You're not happy with what you don't have. That's why you are struggling. Because you are looking at what you don't have, and now you're not happy with that. But if we can learn how to be happy with what we have, we will be blessed. Amen. So, let's thank God for His goodness. Let's thank God for His mercy. Never think that this teaching is there to dump you into poverty. This is not a poverty thing. This is a prosperity thing. It is to be blessed. Amen. God does not want you to struggle financially. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper so much that He was willing to obey everything that needed to be obeyed in order for you to prosper. He did it so that you by faith can have access into grace. And then by grace, which is according to 2 Corinthians 8 verses 9. You know, I just want to say this. When I quote that, I enjoy it. Hallelujah. In Afrikaans, a person will say, ek kry lekker. It says, you know the grace of God. He was rich, He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich. That's grace. And then you have access into this grace through faith. What is faith? Faith is something that comes into your heart when you hear what Christ has done. So in order for you to enter into grace financially, there's something that you need to hear that Christ has done for you, so that faith can come into your heart, so that you can have access into the grace of God, so that you can prosper financially. Man, isn't that powerful. Now, I've got a series out, a 12-part series on finances, where I go way much more into depth into finances and into the scriptures about money. We go into every scripture that I know and have been taught in Bible school and in the time to come and time after that up to now that I've heard on television, everything. I've went into that and applied grace to every scripture. So get a hold of that series. It's only four CDs with three half-an-hour sessions on every CD. It will bless you. It's up for a donation of any amount, and if you cannot donate, we will send it to you. If you really feel, man, I cannot just do this. Now, we don't want to keep a CD away from you and keep you in poverty. Man, you can prosper. Hallelujah. So, open your heart. Make use of that material. But let's have access to the grace of God into prosperity. Now, we are talking about contentment. Let's read Philippians chapter 4. From there, we're going to jump right into 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now, you know, many people are upset with preachers when they take up an offering or give people the opportunity to give an offering. Now, if you're upset with that, it's just because you maybe don't want to give. Maybe you just feel, I don't want to give, and now look at the preachers, you know, they're giving another opportunity for people to give. Now, Paul, he suffered because people didn't have an opportunity to give. So, he says, let's read verse 10 and just hear what I'm trying to say. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were careful, meaning they wanted to give, but you lacked opportunity. There was not an opportunity. Now, I don't know what they needed or what opportunity they needed to give. Maybe they needed people to take him the stuff to the jail that he was or wherever he was. I don't know the situation exactly, but there needs to be, without an opportunity, you cannot give. So please don't be offended if you watch a TV program or go to somebody's church and he says, listen, now it's your opportunity to give. Because he will suffer if there's no opportunity for people to give. And we make opportunity for people to give. It's like you will see on the program, there's banking details at the end. That is your opportunity that we give to you to give. Now, I'm not going to manipulate you and tell you, make you a lot of promises in the name of God if you give towards this ministry. All I'm going to tell you is, man, if you want to give, make use of that opportunity. That's all. Amen. And I want to say, I want to say, as Paul says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. Now listen to this. And now we talk about how you can prosper. Not that I speak in respect of want. Paul says, I don't say these things from desiring you to give to me. Now let's forget about this whole thing about the ministry and providing for people and pastors. We want to talk about you now. It says, and this was the way Paul prospered. Paul was somebody who worked for money, okay? And then people also provided for him, like the church in Philippi. Not that I speak in respect of want. Why doesn't he want? Why doesn't he have a desire now for money? He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Oh, hallelujah. That is powerful. Let me read it again. And this is for the New Testament church. This is for the people that believe that we should rule and reign in this world. This is a key to me. It is a door to me that just brings so much prosperity. It takes away want. Let's read it. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Man, isn't that powerful? Paul said that doesn't matter what state he is in, he's content. And that takes away want. Now you might say, Bertie, that's just too much for me. I must have a lot of stuff in order not to have want. Now, that is a lie from the pit of hell. I've seen people having a turnover in a business of 100 million a year saying, you know, Bertie, we want to sponsor your ministry, but we just need this. We just need a little bit more. Now, prosperity is not in what you own. It is in how you believe about certain things. It is in what you see, your perception. That's where prosperity is. Hallelujah. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased, that's humiliated, or have nothing, and I know how to have a lot or to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Now, what does that mean? I can go through having nothing. I can have a lot. I can be poor. I can have a lot of food. I can be in a place where I don't have a lot of food. And even if in a place where I don't have a lot of food, I will not be in want. Why? Because of Christ who strengthens me. Now, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. This next scripture says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. So Paul was afflicted. He had nothing. But while he had nothing, he was still walking as a rich man. And really believing that he was rich to the point that he was not talking from the perspective of want. Now, the word contentia is a great key to financial prosperity, and I'm going to explain that to you. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, if any man teach another wise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strife of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil, submissings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Now, man, that is really something. There are people really striving in the Word, doesn't want to keep to the wholesome doctrine that Paul gave, which was the doctrine of holiness. Now, that doctrine of holiness is not, you must live holy. The doctrine that says you've been made holy by Jesus, the doctrine of grace. Now, what he says here, what he actually says is that there are certain people that come around that preach a doctrine that's not according to the doctrine that Paul preached. And you can go and read in other writings where he writes. He says, if somebody doesn't preach what I preach, call him accursed. If he doesn't preach grace, it's not the gospel. Then he comes and he says that these people are people that actually supposing that gain is godliness. Gain is not godliness. Let me read this. And this is going to, I know it's shocking some of you, but I want you to listen to me. And we're going to get into how to prosper financially. So don't switch it off now. Now's the time to listen and give everything you've got, all the attention that you have, give it now. So that you can know how to open your heart to receive from God for free. Right. It says here, there are certain people that don't want to go into grace. Wholesome doctrine. Godliness. Let's read verse 3 again. If any man teaches another wise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now what is the doctrine that's according to godliness? Remember, that's what Paul laid down. The gospel of grace which makes you godly through the godliness of God. Man, that's the doctrine of godliness. Amen. Then he says, there are people that want to go away from this. They don't want to go into grace. They don't want to go into what Paul preached. And what are they? Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. So there are people that think, and you might be such a person and be under the bondage of that, that thinks gain is godliness. Now that word gain there is the Greek word for financial gain. Financial gain. Thinking the more stuff I own, the more of a man of God I am, and that what I own speaks of who I am. It does not. And if you think that, you know, it will just bring strife in your own life and the lives of others. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That word gain there in the Greek is financial gain. So, for you to prosper financially, you must be able to separate godliness from financial gain. So what he says is, you should not think that the more I gain financially, the more of a man of God I am. No. If you can be godly and content, then you will have great financial gain. Man, isn't that powerful? Now, let me explain to you this way. If you are not happy with what you have, you will have such a desire for stuff that everything you do in the kingdom of God will revolve around actions in order to get hold of stuff. And that will kill you. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to try and get into the Word of God with a purpose to get rich. Because we've laid the foundation of this thing now, that Jesus said, I make you rich. And I believe that. And that is one of the benefits of a Christian, is prosperity. So all I do is, I dig into righteousness and money is added unto me. That's what Jesus said. But I'm not going to study out the scripture because to fulfill a lust that's in my heart for stuff. I'm happy with what I have. I'm happy with the house I stay in. I'm happy with the car I drive. You know, I'm driving a much better car today than what I drove 5 years ago. Much better. You know, but when I had the car that was, in my eyes now, a piece of rubbish, I was happy with that car. I really felt blessed. I felt God has blessed me. And I didn't walk in another man's revelation of my car. I walked in the contentment that's in my heart. And you know what happened? I lived a happy life with what I drove then. Therefore, I've got a happy life with what I drive now. Another man might look at what I drive and where I stay and say, well, he will not live here. Well, that's fine. You know, be happy where you live. I'm happy where I live. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, I've got a life of joy. And as I go on in life, God adds to me financially and I am content. And because I am content, I've got joy, I've got peace, I've got excitement when I come to the Word. I always feel that God has provided for me. Now let me say that again because this is a powerful, powerful truth. I always feel that God has provided for me. If I'm happy with what I have and I can see that what I've got has been given to God. There's an old song that's so powerful. Count your blessings, count them one by one. Now, you people have made a mockery out of that. You know, say, oh, you just count them one by one because you've only got two. Well, thank God for the two. And you keep yourself busy with your 10 and I'll keep myself busy with my 2. And I'm not going to let you make a mockery out of what God has given me. Hallelujah. And if somebody wants to make a mockery out of the little somebody else has, give to him. If you're not happy with a car somebody else drives and you, this rich man, buy him a new one or keep quiet. That's it. As easy as that. Hallelujah. And I don't say this from a perspective of I don't have. I've got enough. Hallelujah. I can drive wherever I want in Africa with the vehicle I've got. I can go anywhere. My wife can drive. I can drive. And then we've still got vehicles at home. So God is good to us. And I don't say this from perspective of need, but I want to teach you something that can set you free. If you can be thankful of what you've got, not that I say, if you're not thankful, God cannot bless you. It's not a law, please. All I'm saying is see what you've got out of the hand of God. Count your blessings, because the moment you count your blessings, your spirit is lifted. You already feel that you are approved of God because He loves you. That lifts your faith level. And then you say, well, I'm godly because of Christ. And I thank God for what He's given to me. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You will find more and more and more be added unto you. Man, I've seen a thing in the church today, and that is godliness with a lust for more is taught as gain. That's not true. That is not true. Let me tell you, I thank God for broadcasting on Spirit Word Channel. Now, I've got a slot on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock and Wednesday mornings at 3 in the morning, which I bought specifically to be in peak time in the mornings over the US. Now, and then I'm in semi-peak time over the Far East. So that was not bought for the purpose over Africa and Europe. Now, I've got those two slots. That's what I've got. But you know what? I thank God for those slots. They've been provided by God. You know what? I'm not seeking more. Now you might say, yeah, therefore you will not have more. You know what? I'm not going to make a big job to try and get more now. You know why? Because God is going to just give me more. Not just on this channel, but on others as well. And I'm not trying to get a hold of it. God's bringing it to me. Hallelujah. So I'm content. I'm godly. So the thing is, because I'm content, I don't have to manipulate you to give me another one. Because God will bring it, and He will work in the heart of somebody to give it. Thank you, Jesus. So I am godly, and I'm content, and God adds to me. Because that's who He is. And may this bless you. May this give you so much joy and peace. Godliness with contentment, that is great gain. Let's read it again. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and is certain we can carry nothing out. Man, isn't that powerful? Your giving does not produce you a house in heaven. You can carry nothing out of this world. Finished. That's it. When you give, it's paid into the bank of the man of God or whoever you give to. That's where that money goes. And what's seen in the eyes of God, what God sees in heaven is the generosity that's in your heart, and that is fruit to your account. Fruit, what fruit? Fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now it says in verse 8, and having food and clothes, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich or that want to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after or wanted it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Man, that is powerful. Do you know what? When I read this, I get that emotion in me of great joy. Hallelujah. I enjoy reading this to you today. Hallelujah. Now, while I enjoy it, let's read it again. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothes, let us be therewith content. But they which want to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after or want money, they have erred from the faith. Now, listen, there are so many people wanting money that they've erred from grace into stuff that you must do to get it. Man, let's keep to grace. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Let's stay in the grace of God and be content with clothes and food. That means that in the eyes of the world, poor people can walk like millionaires saying, thank God for the shirt that I wear today. Thank God for that hamburger and chips that I ate today, or that maize or millipop or whatever we ate today. I thank God that was God providing for me. I am approved of God. He's provided for me. I am in Him. He's blessed me. Hallelujah. I am rich. I'm under the grace of God. He was rich. He became poor so that I, through His poverty, might be made rich. And I've got clothes by the hand of God. I've got food by the hand of God. I am the blessed. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you, 99% of the people in the world's got clothes and food and something more. So you can, even if you've got more than clothes and food, you can already feel, I am the blessed of God. Hallelujah. So, I asked God, why should we be happy with so little? You know what He said to me? He says, so that everybody can be happy. Bless God. So that everybody can believe I provide for them. So that everybody's faith can be stirred and believe they're the blessed of God. So that faith can rise and that you can have more. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if you write me a letter, explain this scripture in that letter in Jesus' name, and we can talk together. Amen. Now, you make use of our ministry products. God is a good God, and He wants you to make use of this and have this in your house. Man, God bless you. Thank you that you've listened to this broadcast, and stay content in Jesus' name. Amen.